not good with computers.
No.
Well, that's convenient for what we're doing. Shall we? I'll send a Nagra over, and you can just record the reel-to-reel.
Sure.
That'll be easy.
Yeah, computers are not my strong suit.
I'm not that strong a swimmer. Hey, you.
That's what's playing.
I know you.
Playing in my head.
Hello and welcome to episode 348 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
I forget how to do this. It's been like almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we
just
talk.
Like riding a bike, buddy. Just like riding a bike.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what everyone says. So
yeah,
I don't really know what it means. I don't know how to ride a bike. So
yeah, I couldn't make a joke out of that.
Right.
Which I my instinct was to try to make a joke. So maybe it's not like riding a bike at all.
No. I wish someone had explained that analogy to me.
I'm going to go sit in the corner and weep. Yeah. All right. If you need a new bike, though.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon.
Or a scooter or roller skates or pretty much anything that moves on wheels.
Speaking of which, I almost bought something on wheels on Amazon.
Okay, like a car?
No.
Okay, skateboard.
We can go on for a while here.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I bought a skateboard. That's me.
Yeah.
Because I'm 11.
A super retro one, one of those really skinny ones that, you know, is like.
And that's the power of love! That's what.
Yeah.
That's how it would go. No, I almost bought a lawnmower.
Okay.
Except I needed it that day, not the next day.
Okay.
So rather than get it on the Amazon, which I'm prone to do because I like it, we came back from a couple weeks away on vacation, and I guess it rained here a fair bit while we were gone, and we had a little wheat field out in front and back of our house.
Nice.
Yeah, so I had to knock that down, and I wasn't happy with my lawnmower before. I had one kind of a crappy one, and so I was like, you know what, I'm getting a new one. So I checked it all out online, went to order it, and said, a day, I need to cut the grass in 20 minutes. So Amazon, you really let me down on that whole 20-minute delivery thing.
Okay.
If you want my lawnmower business, you need to be circling in a van full of lawnmowers just in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just,
that day will come.
And I can just order it via Bluetooth because you're in the vicinity.
Right.
I'm just saying, that's it. Not even Amazon, but if you want to beat Amazon, if you're the, I don't know, who the other one would be, the Fraser, that's what you would be. We're naming it after rivers.
Okay.
Is that not what Amazon is named after?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought Nile would be too easy. Regardless, if you want to beat them, that's how you do it. I don't see the downside here. I think that's a reasonable business model.
Okay.
You just have massive vans full of everything possible circling every single neighborhood at once. All right. You know what? Forget it. I'm cutting this out, and I'm gonna patent this idea.
Sure.
So I ended up not buying it, but I did buy a couple things. Bought an SD card.
Okay.
Because this is kind of a weird one. I did every year. I do a job in Vancouver, except for I only fly out there some years at around Labor Day. Like if I'm in town, I'll go shoot it myself and then cut it. But if I'm not in town, I'll hire somebody. He'll shoot it for me, and then they'll actually just mail me the footage. Because having it sent by courier, it's a ton of footage. Having it sent by courier is just much faster than doing the internet. Still. And so I edit the whole thing together, and then I send the final product back via the internet, because now it's very small, right?
Yeah.
Like the YouTube or something.
Okay.
So in the past, we used to do it. I would basically buy like an 80 gig USB external hard drive and have them mail that, like this massive thing, right? And then slowly that became, all right, well, now you can put it on a memory stick, but I already have a few of those. And how often do you use an actual USB memory stick?
I very, very rarely.
Very rarely. So if you have three or four of them, you're golden. So I do. I'm all set. So I said, you know what, though? Why don't we do it this way? Why don't I order an SD card that I can use in one of my existing, you know, audio recorders or cameras or something like that? And that way they can just format it as a drive. I'll take all the stuff off, and then I can repurpose it. I'll always be able to use it as a card in a camera.
Okay.
So that's what's happening. That's what I bought. It's being shipped over with footage on it. Great story.
That's exactly what I was playing in my head. Great story.
Just a great story. That's like as if Dostoevsky was around in current days to write about that. And then I bought a sound bar.
Okay.
Do you have one of these?
Yeah, I have one in our bedroom. I have
Bose one. Oh, you bought the Bose one?
Well, I bought the cheap Bose one. I bought the one that they have at Costco, the Bose one, mm-hmm. which is nice because it's a combo Bluetooth for your iPod speaker and TV speaker. So it's multi-purpose. I love it.
That's essentially what I bought. I looked at the cheap Bose one as well, but then they ended up having a similar one from Samsung. And once you dive in to that world, you can't get out, man. Like, you drown looking at product reviews for those.
Yeah.
And so ultimately it came down to the Bose one or this one, and my informed decision was this one. It was a little bit cheaper, a little bit more powerful. Probably not as good. I can't. Who knows? Bose is good. I mean, that's why they're called Bose, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of invested like Apple and Bose stuff. I have everything, and I've never been disappointed. So mm-hmm. that's I kind of just, you know, I if I had the choice, unless the price is twice, which sometimes with Bose stuff it is. But I think the one I bought at Costco is $250, and it is fantastic. But I basically just went into Costco, saw it, and, you know, did a quick look on my phone. Is it good? And it was, and that's it.
Right.
I didn't do a lot of comparison shopping. I was at Costco. It was there, and I wanted one.
We don't have Desk Costco here in Germany. Otherwise, I would have done the exact same thing. Because the 4 hours I spent researching it was definitely not worth the savings. I could have just gone and got a part-time job and put that towards the other one. But there was I forget what it was. There was a reason. Like I broke it all down to Samsung, Sony. There was another company that made them. I can't remember, but they don't actually sell them in Germany. It got like the 5-star review in North America, but I can't get it here. And then the Bose was on there, but there was some informed decision. Long story short, too late. Bought the Samsung. Love it.
Cool.
Because up until now, I'm like, I don't even care. So basically what I've been doing is just running my Apple TV and TV through just a regular stereo, like a Marantz stereo.
Yeah.
And then so left and right speakers, and that's how you play music, et cetera, et cetera. But you know how they like to mix the audio for movies and TV shows so that the first of all, they mix it so that the audio track is just hidden somewhere behind all the cars and the explosions.
Yeah.
So you can't hear a thing. And plus, now actors have decided that acting equals mumbling. And so we don't enunciate anymore. And so, you know, the long and the short of that is you can never hear what people are saying. At least I can. My wife can't. It's not even an old thing because my wife can't hear it either.
Yeah, and I guess that's part of using the two channel. Is that what you said you were using?
Like that's what I went. Audio? Yeah, I just had left and right stereo, and not even like a proper decoder, not even like an optical, you know, what do you call it, digital or whatever, digital decoder. It was just here's left and right coming out and analog. Enjoy. So I have to sit there and ride the levels, you know, like up and down during dialogue scenes. And
yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
Hate that. So I said, you know what? That's it. Finally, I was like, just on a whim, I said, I'm getting one of these sound bars. People love them. They say it's great for the clear voice or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It does quite well. And ours is the same. So it plugs in via the Apple TV. We have the previous model than the latest one. So it has the digital audio plug-in.
Yeah.
So I plug that right in. That works great. Does a great job decoding. Plug the TV in is great. And it has a Bluetooth, like you said. And it's all pretty awesome. So
mine too. The nice thing about it is it recognizes it recognizes if I turn the TV on, then it immediately switches to TV. And then if I push as soon as I push my phone or whatever music I want to play, it remembers multiple devices. I think it remembers two at a time Bluetooth devices. So I don't have to unsync one and sync the other. Like, it just basically keeps the two Bluetooth. It's usually my wife's phone and my phone that we use for playing music in our room.
Right.
And then boom, if either one of us pushes play, it skips to that device and then it plays the audio, which is super awesome too.
That is where my $90 went. Mine does not do that.
You should have spent the extra money.
Yeah, no, I heard that sucks.
Yeah.
That's what everyone said. That's the worst part of the Bose. They're like, oh, yeah, it makes you lazy. It makes you complacent.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need that. So anyway, I did buy that via Amazon. But that's a big package, even though it's not much to it. And it comes with the wireless subwoofer, too. Did the Bose have that one? No.
No, it doesn't. The Bose one that I bought, again, the cheap one, it's all encased in one. And I use this for my bedroom. The bass is perfectly fine. Wouldn't, you know, make this my main home stereo unit. Like, I like watching movies on a big TV, and I like the bass, and so I have a dedicated subwoofer and all of that.
You have a TV in your room?
Yep. Oh, I do.
Okay.
I don't use it very much, but I do use the music part of it a lot.
Sure.
So yeah, the TV part maybe once a week. Like if I don't know, sometimes on a weekend I'll just want to be super lazy and go to bed at 9:30, but I'm not quite ready to sleep, so I'll put something on for half an hour or watch sports highlights before I go to bed. But my wife never watches TV in my room, and I'd say I do maybe once a week. But I still like having it there for that rare occasion, and because TVs are practically free, I didn't mind spending. I think the TV I bought, it's 32 inches or something, and I think it was $250.
Yeah, exactly.
The speaker did come with a mount, a wall mount, so I love it because I have both mounted on the wall. Like, I hate having TVs like occupy space, so the TV in my room is mounted flat against the wall, and the speaker is mounted underneath it flat against the wall, so they occupy zero space that I would otherwise use. So that's another thing I like.
I also like that. That is one of the greatest bits of this technology. That's my favorite part of the HDTV technology, is making it flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And that is this week in Soundbar Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, just talking about technology.
Let's do it.
My wife mentioned this to me. She said, "Oh, did you hear about this new Canon lens?" And I said, "No. What's happening?
Is it a tilt shift?"
No, it's the new 85mm 1.4.
I haven't heard of it either. Oh, maybe so I have.
Canon's 85 1.4. It's an IS lens. And so she was looking, I don't know, it was a newspaper on her phone or something where this popped up as, oh, Canon's got a new lens. I haven't done any reading on it or anything. And I just said, what's the price tag? And then she said, this can't be right. I think it's $1,900. And I said, yep, sounds about right.
And you said, but hashtag the end.
But the funny thing was, is I thought 85mm, 1.4 IS. Why does it need IS? And maybe you can answer that question for me. Maybe is there a film application or a reason you'd need?
I would say movies, maybe.
IS on a lens like that?
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't know either. I honestly,
$1,900.
The only time that I find that IS comes up in that situation is when you're shooting with a flash. Like, you're shooting studio stuff and you're shooting handheld.
Okay. Yeah.
And you should be able to get a decent shutter speed. Like, you should get 1/160th at the worst. You know, and at the best, probably 1/250th of a second in order to sync your off-camera flashes. But let's say you're getting 1/160th. I know the rule is, you know, the inverse of the focal length. So 1/80th of a second should be close, really, in that respect. You would go a little bit higher and say 1/100th should give you enough shutter speed to stop the action. Or stop, sorry, like the motion blur that you would induce by pushing the shutter. But you don't really. There's times you miss.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I think the IS would come in handy. Like, I notice it more so when I'm shooting with the 70-200 in the studio.
Right, because it's, you know, longer and heavier too. To stay handheld, it's just a harder. It's a harder.
Well, heavier is usually easier in for that. Like it's.
But it's long and heavy, so it's sort of. I feel like it's easier to tilt versus the 85 is much shorter. Now I don't know how long this 85 1.4 is, but I would just think it's a shorter package. The longer, like for example, if you hold your arm straight out and your arm is twice as long as the next guy's, the guy with the long arm will have a lot harder. Job as far as holding that arm still,
which is why there's no tall gymnasts. No, but I'm not even joking. That's for real. Look at all the gymnasts who are in the Olympics. Like Wilt Chamberlain never competed. True story. Can't do it. You can't get up on the rings, and it's just too much leverage. You can't do it. So you look at, you know, there's a reason Carrie Ann Strug was so successful, because she's, you know, 3 feet tall.
Right.
Current name.
Yeah.
I thought Nadia Comaneci was the obvious one, so I was trying to play against
Mary Lou Retton.
Okay, come on now, don't make it weird. Yeah. So I don't know. I sometimes I wonder if the IS is just, hey, because we can, let's do it.
And another reason we can jack the price up $500.
Yeah. I don't have any IS lenses.
Neither do I.
I used to.
I think why we're biased too, though.
Probably. But I don't. It's not something I miss. Now, I've never really shot video with an IS lens. I heard it's good. It's never come up. I prefer the cinema lenses anyway for other reasons. And they don't have the IS. They don't even have autofocus, which you wouldn't need in cinema anyway.
But don't you think that IS is a little bit like, you know, an insurance policy that they sell to you, and that if you are going in and you're, you know, to a camera store and they're saying, okay, well, there's this one, but then this one will really make it hard for you ever to get a blurry photo. I think that's where it starts. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, and pros included, kind of realize that, all right, well, maybe I don't need it, but what if I miss the shot? Like, what I mean, they're preying on our fears as photographers, just like insurance companies. I think that's what it is. I really do. And because otherwise, why wouldn't they either make, well, why wouldn't they make them all with and just jack the price up on all of them? No, they realize they can make a cheaper product.
You can but do the upsell. They're gonna,
yeah, exactly.
Now, what is the price on the 85 1.2?
I don't know.
Like, that's a hefty lens. Like, that's around that. Isn't like maybe $2,500. I think it's even more.
Well, usually that's how it goes, right?
Right, but in order to then, because they had the 1.0, it's the 1.0, they had the 1.2, right? The 85 1.2.
I think they do. I think they've had that for a while.
Right, and that's like the golden lens. No, but that's like the gold standard in that focal length. And then the 85 1.8 that you and I have, which I
love,
like
$500. Yeah,
is it even that much? I mean, I remember.
Well,
I think in the
U.S. it's just under five. I think it's like four something, or I think that's what it was. I haven't looked at it currently, but I'm going to say around $500.
Did you,
or just below?
Back in the day, when I bought mine, probably 4 years ago now, maybe more. I don't remember now. I seem to think I paid under $400 in the States.
I bought it for you.
You did. Well, I did reimburse you.
yeah. No, but I bought it from Seattle.
That's right. You ordered it and brought it back from Seattle, and then I flew in when I was coming in from Germany, and then that was how it happened. Hashtag don't tell German authorities.
Yeah, it was. I think, around $400 at that point.
Right, and I think but I gave you 360 just, there and was just walked away awkwardly.
Yeah, something like that. No, but from what I recall, I think it was probably just around $400. I have a feeling it's more than that now, but again, you'll have to do the research.
Yeah, that's great. Hear that, everybody? We've done no research.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just give anybody
just
a
talking,
podcast.
Just saying stuff.
Yeah. Right, exactly. We're just spitting out our random thoughts.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into why they made a 1.4, why they wouldn't just stick with the 1.2 that everybody loves. That people who have shot with it, not even people who own it, but people who have shot with it will shame you if you have not shot with it, because it's that good. I mean, I have seen the images. They are fantastic. So regardless, if you're not going to get that, go ahead and get the 1.8. It's awesome. As we've probably said about a million times on this show. I can't imagine dropping an additional, call it $1,400 on the 1.4 if it's just IS. It must be a better lens on top of that. Even then, it would have to, for $1,400, it would have to not just be a better lens, it would have to check the air in my tires and then also vacuum the house twice a week. That's how good it would have to be for me to want to spend $1,400 on it.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to check into that, though, because I had not seen it while I was gone. All right. So in the what's going on department, return from vacation. We'll talk about that. We'll save our vacation for next week.
Sure.
Baseball update. Finish the season.
Okay.
We finished in second place. This is just closing all out for the year. We won't talk about baseball until next year. Good for everybody else. Finishing second, that was all right. We're happy with that. I ended up playing the last day of the last doubleheader, despite my wife. I promised my wife I wouldn't.
Okay.
Because of the knee.
Oh, okay. Still the knee.
Still the knee. The doctor said don't play. But my wife said don't play. But the good news was she wasn't at the game.
Okay.
And I played. I was like, all right, well, I was going to maybe DH one game and sit the other game, but I ended up playing first base for both games because I can hurt the rest of the season, the rest of the winter.
Gotcha.
So, but I was a little bit, you know, I was like, I don't want to go out there and, you know, just stink because that would, you know.
Okay, so cut to the short of it. What did you
I had a good day.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. I hit one out and.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my first wood bat home run in quite a few years, actually. And so I was in game one. I fell a triple, which is hard to do, triple short of the cycle. That's one of each.
Big.
Do you know what the cycle is?
Yeah.
Okay. For those listening at home who don't know, that's one of each: single, double, triple, home run. So.
Missed the triple.
As usually when you miss the cycle, it's the triple.
It's the triple, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, especially at my age. Our game two pitcher, and so that was in game one. Our game two pitcher, he lost his bid for a perfect game.
Ooh.
With two out in the sixth inning. So first 17 not bad. Guys. Yeah.
Not bad.
17 up, 17 down, and then some kid just chipped a single the off field, unfortunately. Ended up with a two-hitter, won that game. And I finished the season hitting .351.
It's pretty good.
That was
no John Olerud, but
yeah, I know. Led the team in doubles, and my one home run did lead the team in home runs, tied with two other guys. We had one guy, one other guy hit one out, and then we had an in the park home run.
So, awesome, three for the season.
Yeah, it's not a big home run league. When you hit with wood bats, which I don't know if you've ever done that, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the home run production plummets. So, but anyway, yeah, so we're happy. I was happy. First of all, happy I didn't, you know, break my knee. That was kind of nice. But I have questions for after the podcast, knee questions.
Okay. All right.
There you go. That's it. That's the wrap-up.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting besides vacation stuff, which we'll talk about next week?
I got a beauty dish.
You did? I saw the emails. Yeah.
Yeah, I was okay, so do you want to hear the story behind this?
I do.
So I was, because I never use the hoser's email for something like that, but I had this beauty dish that I saw on Craigslist, and the guy wanted like $120, and it was a specific one for the Alien Bee. It's the one that, you know, Paul Buff bought this other company, Lightgear USA, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, and they make beauty dishes, and they make it specifically the ones that Paul Buff sells on his website that are sized for the Alien Bees and for the Einstein lights. Of which I had. And so you can buy any beauty dish, but if you're going to use it on the Alien Bee, then you got to kind of adapt it. You have to have a bracket that adapts it, or and most of them are kind of a universal bracket, but they make brackets for the Alien Bees, and it's just kind of a
First of all, having to bracket anything sucks.
Yeah.
Especially, and then if that bracket is then universal, it's universally not universal.
Right.
I hate that.
And so, again, I saw that there is one on Craigslist that was close by. It was in Richmond that was, you know, the one made for the Alienbee, which is, I looked it up online. It basically just slides over the Alienbee. The Alienbee has the, like, four little pinch clips on the actual strobe itself that the light modifiers that are made for it just clip right onto. Mm-hmm. So it's literally a 3-second setup. And I thought, oh, this is what I want. Because I've been looking at a beauty dish or beauty dishes for a while, just hadn't pulled the trigger or anything. And going through the Paul Buff website is just more of a hassle because I have to get it shipped, like you alluded to earlier, to somewhere across the line in the States because they won't ship it to Canada, or if they do, they'll ship it here, but it's going to cost you twice as much by the time it gets to your door because they have all these kind of fees that go on top of it for bringing it across the border and whatnot. So mm-hmm. it's a big hassle to do the Paul Buff one. And on the website, they sell it for $80 new, and this guy wanted $120. And initially, I was like, oh, whatever, it's $40. It's going to save me a hassle. It's the exact one I want.
Plus, that's $80 American, right?
Yeah, that's 80 American, which is $120 here anyways.
Roughly,
but
yeah.
then when I was emailing the guy, I was going to buy it $120, and then I thought when I was just about to buy it, he told me, you know, he mentioned one of the emails that was already used. He'd bought it for someone else, and for some reason, even though the thing looked like from the pictures and that it was in great shape, that deterred me right away. I'm like, he probably bought it for $80 and now he's turning a profit on it. Like, it's already used, right?
Yeah, screw that guy.
So it was more of a principle thing. So I was just like, yeah, no, I think it's priced too high. And then I didn't buy it. And then I went away on vacation for a few weeks and 2-3 weeks later, I looked at it again and it was still on the market. Right. And so now, because it's a niche kind of item, like you're selling only to someone who has an Alienbee or Einstein and wants a beauty dish on Craigslist. So the market's pretty small. So I thought, okay, when I responded to him initially, it was like 3 or 4 days after it was posted. Now it's 3.5 weeks after it's posted. So I was thinking, I don't want to go back under the same email and be the same only guy that's probably contacted this guy about it. Now I'm going to drop my price by $50. So I used the hosers. This is my sneaky Craigslisting. And I said, I'm not a person who likes to lie. I don't lie almost ever. I consider myself a super honest person. So I didn't even want to put my name or anything. I just said, oh, I'm interested in buying your beauty dish. By this time, he'd already dropped the price to $100. So I offered him $75 and he said, yeah, sure. And I was like, all right, sweet. This is now this is a really good deal. Mm-hmm. So I bought the beauty dish. It's a 22-inch. You can get ones that are silver lined and ones that are kind of painted white on the inside, and they have different properties, as you can imagine. But mm-hmm. I got the painted white one, which is from reading lots of beauty dish reviews, seems to be there's a divide. Some people will say one way or the other. For what I wanted it to be able to do, I think the white is better for me. Mm-hmm. And so got that, and I just played around with it a bit. And love it. It's going to be probably my go-to modifier over the softbox now, I think, because it's way faster to set up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it if you're going to use it outside where there's any potential for blowing it over. And you just have so much power with the strobe. Like, it's awesome. I've already used it outside. I used an extension cord and took it out in the backyard and in the front. And love it. It's much more directional, too, than the softbox is. So you have more control. I don't have grids for it. It doesn't come with grids, but there are grids out there. The problem with the grids are they're about the cost or more of the actual beauty dish. So I might make my own grid, I think, is what I'm going
to
do.
I look forward to seeing the results, but also the setup. I want to see what they actually look like. Your setup, your beauty dish on the Paul Buff.
Oh yeah, it's
like exactly. I know you said the size, but I'm having trouble picturing it.
Yeah, 20 and the 22 inch is a good size. I mean, they make bigger ones. I don't think Paul Buff has a bigger one, mm-hmm. but there's 28 inch dishes out there. That this 22 is pretty big. It's going to suit my needs. It'd be perfect for shooting, you know, two or three kids together. It's another modifier that again, super light, will be easy to take with me if I want to set up in someone's house. Again, far more manageable than the giant softbox that I have, which I love. It's a nice setup, but I almost never take it anywhere out of the house.
And they're smart when they invented them, because it's got beauty right in the name.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a cool look. Like I understand why people like it, and you can. I'm thinking most of my application is going to be for shooting kids and young people.
Mm-hmm.
But that you can get basically, you know, a look that's high contrast, but you can also, you know, clamshell it, which seems to be a super popular, and really get a nice kind of shadowless look as well, or minimize the shadow. So yeah, it's a very, very, very neat modifier, and it's so directional. And that's, you know, we've been talking about how we like to do directional lighting for a long time, and it's just so much easier to do directional lighting with the Beauty Dish over the softbox.
Well, I gotta get one now. I can't let you get too far ahead of me.
And they make ones for flash as well. I think a lot of what I've been reading, and the reason I didn't get one for a flash, is they just said, you know, if you're the power can be a problem unless you're just doing it in the studio.
Right. Like right. I've read a lot of the do-it-yourself ones, but I'm like, I'm not cutting a hole in my metal IKEA bowl.
Yeah,
come
that
on.
Looked way, way, way beyond what I want to do as far as time consumed. Yeah,
forget that. I would love it to just go the route that you did. I would have offered this guy $76 though, and just scoop it from you. Because I was seeing those emails while I was up in, I guess I was in Hamburg or something like that, and I was just going to chime in. I was going, hey, hang on, I'll offer you $80.
Yeah.
Don't sell it to this guy. He's a liar. Just going to completely crash your party.
And the other thing that he didn't have that wasn't included because it was already used that comes with the original package is like a diffusion sock. Like they basically, you know, if you want to soften the light even more, a lot of them come with like essentially like a sock that goes over the Beauty Dish. But I thought, well, that's if I want that, I'll either just make my own, which wouldn't be hard at all, or I'll just use a softbox at that point because that's all you're doing is turning it into a softbox. And so I know when I'm going to use this, I'm going to say 99% of the time it's going to be because I want the Beauty Dish look, which is going to be no sock. So the sock to me didn't matter at all.
I'm angry now.
What's that?
I can't believe I didn't think of it at the time. I had the guy's email. I could have gone to my email address and just, hey man, you still got that Beauty Dish? I'll take it. $100? Okay, I'll take it. And just mess you over.
Drive the price.
But I'll meet at the same place. We're like, yeah. Can I meet you at the Tim Hortons over there, wherever, and wherever you were meeting him? And then just make it awkward for you. So you'd have to go there, and then I wouldn't show. And then, that would have been awesome.
I think
let's do it again. Let's try it again.
Because I was using the two hosers email when I actually met the guy. I think I introduced myself as Alan, just in case, just in case it ever got traced back to me.
Right. Yeah.
Because I thought if he really does his research, two hosers photo show, he's gonna pull up a picture. He's not gonna know which one's Alan and which one's Adam.
True. That's a good point.
So he's going to see me and just assume that my name is Alan.
Yeah.
I probably overthought it a little bit too much.
Did you actually say you're Alan?
No.
No, that would be awesome.
I didn't say anything.
I would have absolutely done that. That's mine. And then just spout off a bunch of racist stuff and then leave. And go, yeah, I got to go to the park and, you know, whatever. Just say some racist things. You know, you listeners know what racism is, right? I don't have to say it. That would have been great. Oh, good times. All right. Photo challenge for this month. It was, or this week is this month, is the August photo challenge for the great outdoors. That was the monthly challenge.
Right.
Let's start with other OPP, as I call it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know me, other people's photos.
Right. That's great.
All right. And I
you
thought of that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, hashtag 1991. Is it even
got,
that?
Yeah. Got milk? Got photos?
Oh, that's been. There's no way that hasn't been done. That would be terrible. Like you'd if you'd showed up at the Tim Hortons and the guy with your $75 Beauty Dish was wearing a shirt that said "Got photos," You just kicked him in the shins and said, I don't even want your beauty dish, and walked off.
Yeah, it's tainted.
Yeah, it's 40 now. My highest I will go is 40 because you're wearing a Got Photos shirt. Yeah, I'm a little harsh. I got to tell you. So any of our listeners who have a Got Photos shirt, I apologize for being this harsh.
Okay.
No, I don't. That's not true. Get rid of it. All right. So what do we have? We had 15 submissions. Is that good for His Highness?
I don't know. No, not really.
15's not enough?
No.
What's the goal for September?
50.
50.
Yeah.
Well, that seems a little bit of a jump. That seems I can.
You're good at math.
Yeah. That feels exponential.
I feel like
it's almost twice 30. As many. Yeah.
I feel like 30. For 15, let's get 30. Oh,
30's the ultimatum. I haven't even thought of what that's going to be. I better think about it. I have thought about it. I have thought about it. I dialed it in for what it's going to be.
All right. Should we talk about these photos?
Did we do we did shallow depth of field already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hint. It's going to be deep focus.
Did we do shallow depth of field?
We did. That was one of them early on. We did shallow depth of field. I hope. Okay. I forget now. I'll correct it on next week, but it's going to be deep. All right, so let's take a look at the great outdoors. So starting with Jason Evans, 47.
I got a better one than yours.
Oh, okay. Great. We'll save it for then. Yeah, is it Beauty Dish? Because, that'll be convenient.
No, it's not Beauty Dish. No, it's not Beauty Dish. It might. I'm trying to think of something that people might actually do.
Sketchy dudes at Tim Hortons?
No, it's not that.
Yeah. All right. For those American listeners who don't know what Tim Hortons is, it's a place that people meet on Craigslist and stab each other.
And eat donuts.
Also, the donuts, the donut holes are pretty good, you know, while you're bleeding out. Okay, too soon? All right. All right, so Jason Evans, 47, submitted the black and white photo. I'm assuming that this is a water park.
I think so.
Otherwise, it's, you know, pretty random.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it. I like it, too. Oh, wow. We said that in unison.
Uh-huh.
That was weird.
His tag was, as close as I got to the great outdoors. This seems like outdoor to me. I mean, I guess you think great outdoors, you're thinking out in the woods and a lake and whatnot. But, no, I like what's going on here. A lot of foreground, middle ground, background. I like just all the water. I don't know. I don't know. Looking at it on the Instagram, it's hard to tell. Like, if you saw it in person, you could tell if it was film or digital. It looks like a little bit filmy because he's made it black and white and added the grain to it. It looks like to me.
Okay.
Or it's actually film. And when you scan it, then it's hard to tell when it's scanned and whatnot. So I'm going to guess that this is digital, made to look a little bit grainy. And I like it. I like her positioning, even though, you know, she's in the center. It is the top third, so the rule of thirds does play in here. Whether it was on purpose or not. And I think it probably works the best in black and white.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Unless that water was crazy blue, then it would work great in color as well.
Well, I'm guessing the power station in behind or whatever that is probably going to be more distracting in color is my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree too. No, it's great. To me, it's a parting of the seas.
Yes, like at Universal Studios.
Yeah, sure.
I've been there. Great. Like it?
Moving on.
And then Daz Turnup, his submission is family down at the beach trying to grab some summer. So I'm guessing by trying, it means maybe not having the best summer. Could be, weather-wise.
Okay.
So that's just my guess. Like it, though. I like what's going on here. This is nice kind of muted colors. Like, the kid's shirt is really popping, but the rest, you know, the instinct is to kind of, you can really ramp up the vibrancy and the saturation and go for it, but it's not real. So from the skin tones into the blue skies, I like it. And I think, you know, what's nice about this photo is that we look at this and our listeners look at this, and I think our instinct would be to say, yeah, that's fine. It's good. Good, nice positioning, like, you know, nice compositions in focus, moving on, you know, well done. But when you compare it, like that, it's easy to do that because he's done everything right here, and it's not like, you know, you're not landing at the beach at Normandy, so there's nothing remarkable in that respect. It's your basic photo, but everything is done properly. Mm-hmm. And so for that,
especially the angle. The angle is the key here.
Yes,
is that the photographer got down very low.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of shooting this, you know, from just a crouched position, they're probably lying on their stomach in order to get this angle super low, right down on the beach, in order to bring the head of the child and I'm guessing the mom up and into the sky. And it's just a far more pleasing angle, but you're not going to get this from crouching or from standing. You're going to get a photo that's terrible.
Great call.
So there you go. They did that, and that is a super hot move.
That is. So you've done everything right, Daz. I'm assuming, yeah, Turnip Daz is your last name, Mr. Turnip. No, you've done everything right here. That's the thing, is it's such a simple shot, but you still, if you do everything right, and this is the goal. Like this even reminds me, this okay, stay with me on this one. I used to referee hockey, right? At a fairly high level of hockey, or as they call it here, ice hockey. But the greatest compliment that I would ever get after a game would be one of the coaches or parents or somebody saying, "Man, we didn't even see you out there." You know, so if you can do your job and just be completely,
because you're eating your snack in the back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was busy missing calls. No, but if you maybe, you know, if you can remain invisible and let the game play out, much like this, if as a photographer you can remain invisible and don't make it all about you, make it about the subject, and just do everything right so you disappear, you get a shot like this. And so that's how I feel about this one.
Right.
All right. All right, JC Russo has the fish photo.
Okay.
You start.
It's different.
It's a fun little moment, I think, with his, yeah, son. I'm assuming his son caught the fish.
Maybe. I have a picture of Jack when he's probably 3, and we'd been fishing off a dock where we were camping somewhere, and he caught a little fish like this, and he's holding it up. I still have it. It's up in our house somewhere downstairs. He's holding it, and he's got the totally grossed out face by the fact that he's holding this fish in his hands.
Yes.
And it just, I mean, it reminds me of a fun moment, this sort of thing. Like, maybe it's cool if it's a first fish or there's something kind of that goes with it. Making faces between the fish and the little kid is, again, it's a cute moment for parents, like this sort of stuff. As far as a you know, for others photo, it's kind of more of an inside joke photo,
probably.
Yeah,
who do you think is having more fun, though, the kid or the fish?
I hope the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Nemo. You still have the photo of Jack, and will you post it for next week?
I will look for it in, like, because it's printed, right? So
right.
I'm going to have to go deep into the archives, but I will absolutely look for it.
I will go deeper, and I have a picture of my first fish, me catching my first fish when I was 41. So it's not as cute. No, I think I was probably 5 years old, 6 years old, or something like that. And so I will post that one as well.
Okay, it exists somewhere on my computer, but like I said at the outset, I'm not good.
You might be computers. That guy doing the iPhone photo of your photo on the wall.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. All right, next one. All right, Doofus Photography. He's got two in a row here, and spoiler alert, I like this one better. I like the sunset. This is the one with the tree and the sun setting behind the tree.
Okay, yeah.
I like what's going on here. The sky just feels really nice. It sort of feels, I kind of want to go to Utah. Not just based on this photo, but based on a lot of things and other photos that I believe he's posted. But Utah seems like a pretty underrated, cool place to go. Especially for photos.
Okay.
No?
All right. No, I like it as well. This is a kind of a photo for me, the one that we're looking at, the sunset one, that my tendency for sure would be to kind of like crank the yellows and make it look like something that's, I mean, almost a little bit too crazy, vibrant, and yellow. And so if this is what it looked like, I appreciate it for what it is. And if this is looking out the back of your place, then again, it's a meaningful photo to the person because it's trees or a landscape that they're very familiar with. To the average person on the internet looking at this, it's fine. You know, that's what I would say. It's fine. Like it's not going to blow.
I'm just
my
reading
hair back.
The hashtags now, and he's looks like he's from Utah, but this is in Idaho.
Okay,
so for those, yeah, made you fall off your chair. That's how devastating
that
news
that's
was.
What just happened. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, wow, that's Idaho. That's you don't get that.
And again,
in Boise.
I'm not good at these kind of photos, so I don't even know what I could say to make it better. It's just to me, it doesn't really move the needle.
Well, I like it better than the next one, so there you go.
Okay, all right.
Now this one, nice and calm. It Doofus Photography again. This is, I guess, from the same place in Idaho, evidently. A nice little scene. However, in my opinion. And I'll post some shots next week of some lake shots. Just so you know, I'm not coming at this out of completely nowhere. I actually shot some lake shots last week.
Okay.
And this is, again, this is fine. This is very subdued.
Mm-hmm.
So, this might be a very accurate representation of what went on. But I think, you know, either a little bit before or a little bit after this was taken, he might have gotten some dazzling colors, which may not have been the intent. It may have been that, hey, this is just the kind of the serene, peaceful, muted colors that existed, so therefore I want to shoot it. But it's, you know, it's fine.
Right. I agree.
So I'm trying to be encouraging and saying, well, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 minutes prior or later, but maybe not. Maybe that was just the weather that day.
Yeah, or maybe a wider angle, getting back further, or you know, potentially different lens. I feel like it's cut off in a sort of an awkward spot.
Could be Instagram though. I tend to give leeway in the Instagram world for that reason.
Okay.
I do appreciate the attention to balancing the sky and still being able to catch the reflections of the little island and that in the water.
Yes, agreed.
All right. All right, JB Photography at Lava Lake sent one. Now I like this one. I like what's going on here.
This, to me, seems like a, what's the Coors Light, like a Coors Light ad?
That's right, from back in the day, from like 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah, I feel like there's this kind, and maybe that's what he was emulating.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the actual foreground, background, the silver can, like, I don't know this beer, if this is just a pure joke or this is really an actual,
that's got to be a real beer. That's got to be something local, I'm imagining.
Yeah, Moose Drill doesn't sound the most appetizing as far as beer's sales would be concerned, but
and it's a brown ale. That's the part for me. So I think they missed a trick. I think they should have called it Moose Droppings.
Oh no.
They would have moved units. You hear that? You hear that hashtag whoever is that? I don't even know. I don't know who that company that is. Big Sky Brewing, I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Check
it
out.
But really, really do like the composition and like the colors. And yeah, it's just enough in focus in the background. Like, you don't want to blow it out completely. So it's a good image. To me, the only thing that sort of bothers me is the tilt of the can. Like, the can seems like it's leaned way back. Like,
I think that's for a reason, though.
But I don't like it.
Okay, but I'm looking at this and thinking, it looks neat. What time of day do you feel this was shot?
Probably midday.
I was thinking noon 30. This is about when I would, you know, you look at the shadow being cast by the can.
Yeah, and the shadow on the rock or whatever, the wood thing that it's leaning up against, the driftwood or whatever, is straight kind of up and down, so sun right overhead.
Yeah. Right, so I'm thinking in that respect, the can was tilted back a little. It does look distorted. It looks a little heavy on the bottom, but, you know, I can get by that. I know what a beer can looks like, obviously, so it doesn't fool me. I know what I'm looking at, so I'm okay with it, and I'm guessing it was a choice to make sure he got enough little light. And so I'm assuming he hiked up here maybe, and thus probably didn't bring a whole lot of lighting equipment or even a bounce. So I'm guessing it was tilted back to accommodate for the light.
Okay.
So I'm okay with it. So I like what's going on. I like the square crop. Now, I don't know if that was a Instagram choice or if that, you know, was JB's decision. Like it, though. Like, works out quite well. All right.
Yeah, it's good.
Next one, Paul Cub. This is Playing in the Forest. What do you think of this one?
Almost.
Okay, what's missing?
It's there either needs to be a half second later where that person on the bottom right, and again, this might be an Instagram crop problem,
mm-hmm.
needs to be in the frame, or they need to be out of the frame with the other three. Otherwise, I really like it. It's just, to me, that person in the foreground, biggest in the frame, who's cut off, really hurts the image, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if this is a wider shot, and it's also because, again, it's the proximity to the frame, and that person appears so large in it relative to what's going on in the rest of the frame with the trees and the grass. I really feel like if they were moved a little bit further out or not included at all, that this is a great shot. I love this kind of shot. People running away, and again, to me, it's all about how natural the running looks. And so the girl in the green and the girl in the blue love their stride. This is partly my hang up as a physiotherapist, not as a photographer. Just the mechanics of the running interest me. Like, I find them super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lose the girl in the green's arm based on the foreground guy. And again, his body just sort of looms large, and it being cut off to me is where I have a problem. But I love the girl in the blue, the furthest out, and her run, that where her arm sways out. Like, again, I find all the mechanics just of people and they run different interesting. So,
and the guy in the foreground, I'm looking at him, and you're the expert, not me, but if he keeps running like this, he's going to have knee problems. Yes or no?
Yeah, it looks awkward. That exactly. That leg is too bent.
Uh-huh.
That right leg is too bent. Plus, there's no real looking reciprocal arm swing, right? Like,
right.
He's got both arms are down by his side at the same. It's off-putting.
Yeah.
So he should learn how to run better.
I'm seeing a little too much lateral pressure on his left knee as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll talk. So it turns out now I like this shot. It looks kind of old timey. It looks a little bit like it could be like a Roots ad. Like the way it's shot, like the Roots tends to shoot with this sort of subdued kind of film look to it, right?
Yeah.
Like with the low contrast in the forest, and so I like that. I like the fact that it is a square crop, which I'm guessing is probably an Instagram choice, not Paul's decision. Overall, I like it. I like the color scheme here. This is in Germany, and this looks like North America though, to me.
Yeah, sure. Looks like BC.
Yes. Now I know it's in Germany because remember I told you at our last game I hit the home run.
Mm-hmm.
We end up losing that game because this guy Paul Cub, he plays on my team. I didn't know he was submitting.
Oh, he
this.
Does.
I didn't know he was submitting this, but
okay.
He unfortunately he came in relief in the ninth inning and gave up a 2-run home run to tie it. So we end up losing that game. So. As much as I like your photo, Paul, I wish you hadn't left that fastball up over the plate.
Okay.
So.
And that's why I had to. Was that Paul running?
No, Paul's taking the photo.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just because otherwise I don't feel like he deserves to be on your team.
Yeah, I don't play with 11-year-olds.
Well, that
nice 15.
Kid running, yeah, he looks older than that.
I don't play with 15-year-olds.
Okay.
Which is false. There's a couple of 15-year-olds on the team. They're brand new. Come on. We're developing them. So anyways, yeah, like the shot, though. All right, next one. D.V. Howells in Los Angeles, California. This is what he claims is to be L.A.'s version of the great outdoors, which I think there is. Isn't there? Can't you go hiking in the hills? Isn't there something like in the canyons?
I don't know.
Hollywood
probably.
Sign?
Sure. Sure.
But this looks like downtown L.A. and probably is. Or it even was hashtag downtown. But I like the fact that he did a timed, like a long exposure to get the freeway traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. I like the colors of the light of the car, the headlights and the taillights up against the lights in the buildings and really nice sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree on all fronts. My only critique, and it's not much of a critique, would be that I like these kind of photos. I haven't done one of these since the last time we did a photo challenge like this. It just doesn't come up very often where I go looking to, you have to be staying at a hotel downtown somewhere with a freeway to really ever feel like this comes up. I don't go looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the photos that I see done well that look like this that I really, really like include like a wider perspective and more of the lights. Like this one to me is good. It's almost there. If not for, and it's not like they could have done anything. This is their vantage point and this is probably how much they could see. But if there was, you know, some curvature to the lights, maybe again, another, a third of the frame that included the lights, there's a lot of sky and a lot of building relative to the lights. Mm-hmm. And I feel like flipping that around and having more of the lights and less of the sky and the building, like that negative space doesn't, like, what's the subject here? Is it the buildings? Is it the movement? So I think, again, it's good and all the colors and everything looks good, but what is the subject of the photo? And I think it's the lights more so than the buildings, in which case I just like more of that.
I think it's the complete mise-en-scene.
Sure.
So in that respect, good job, D.V. Howells.
All right.
Next one up, Oscar Campos Photography. It cuts off. I'm assuming it's photography. Oh, there it is. Yes, yeah. Right below.
Sure.
Here's his contribution. It says he shot it on film and in Mexico. Go.
Okay, so now I'm looking at this, and you might think that I'm going to say, nothing spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think the listeners might think I would say about this photo. I love this photo.
Okay.
And again, it's one of those weird things where I can't tell you exactly why, but this is a photo. I've been to the Caribbean a couple of times. I've been to Mexico. This is perfect to me. This is what you look out at. This is what things look like. This is, the colors are perfect. You didn't go crazy and try to make it look like something it isn't. And this reminds me, like, this is the kind of photo that had I taken it after a trip, I would absolutely, you know, get printed or frame it. It's just, it's subtle. It's, again, it's super simple and it just looks right. It's sort of one of those makes me happy photos. So there you go. I that's the best I can describe it, but great job. Absolutely love this photo. This is the best of the lot for me personally.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go. So
take
good
that,
job,
Moose
Oscar
Knuckle.
Oscar Campus Photography, my favorite.
Good. I like this photo too. I mean, I don't like it as much as you, obviously, because you said love, but I really do like this. Because of the, for me, it was also just the very subtle color shift from sky right down, and including that last, what I'm assuming is where the water's breaking a little bit or about to break.
Yeah, and the sand, like it's getting shallow.
Yeah,
shallow,
and so that kind of seals the deal. But you could go the whole other way and have it, you know, super blue skies and then, you know, green in the ocean or whatever happens. But this, for to really go subtle all the way across with that hard line on the horizon, love it. But you and the rest you covered. I've never actually been to Mexico. Well, I've been not here in Mexico, but so it doesn't hit quite close to home.
Okay.
But still like the photo. All right, Roger Dahlman in Fernandina Beach. Yeah, like this one. Love the colors. Love what's going on.
The way the water just, I guess this must be a long exposure, I'm guessing.
He mentioned it.
Okay,
hashtag
I didn't
there.
Read that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so just because of how it sort of looks like almost ice or glass with the water, so a very cool effect. And also really helps bring out the ambient lights and sort of, again, sort of almost like a spotlight around the house by going with the long exposure. Super, super cool looking.
That's right. And also, I mean, the lights themselves aren't particularly orange, at least not what I'm looking at. They're obviously yellower. Mm-hmm. Yellower is not a word, by the way.
Sure. We get it though.
More yellow than more yellow. The sky, but playing against those blues is really great. We've talked about the blue and the orange before, and it's going to come up later, trust me, if we ever get to ours. But no, the long exposure really makes this shot. So, and then with the deep blue sky and the ocean. All right, next up, Link shoots in Big Cottonwood Canyon. Now, this is the great outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So he nailed it. I mean, Again, is this, I guess, Utah again? There you go. See? Thought you want to go to Utah, Adam?
Yes.
Okay. Based on this. I happen to like, I don't know if these are birch trees or not. They look like birch trees to me.
Mm-hmm.
We could find out. I'm sure there's probably a hashtag in there, hashtag birch. Unless they're caught, unless they're actually cottonwood trees, which would, you know, says right in the name of the canyon. But I happen to like these. I like the way the white bark just pops out against the greens and whatnot. And again, we have the same sort of thing with the people walking away from the camera, which is a shot I end up getting a lot of because I never run ahead and get shots. My family's basically running away from me is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of those.
But I like it too.
Yeah. All right. Good job, Link Shoots. Da Woodworks. Now, this comes from Wales. You've heard of it. You know why I know you know where Wales is?
How do you know?
The Prince of Wales Division. Not the Campbell Conference.
Gotcha. Hockey reference.
Prince of Wales. So again, I like this. I always like it's hard to mess up a sunset, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No offense to the Woodworks.
I like this. Again, to me, I like the sunset. I don't need the silhouette because the silhouette's neither here nor there to me. You know, it's not there's not enough silhouette. Like it's there, but it's like you can't tell anything about any features. Like they're just kind of sticks that are standing there. So,
okay, I'm going to disagree with you there, but...
Okay, all right, yeah. If you feel free. I like silhouettes where I can see a bit more shape or something, and so they're there, the angle for this to be a silhouette. Like, is it a silhouette photo or is it a sunset photo? Like, is the subject the people or is the subject the sun?
Or is it that little, the seagull in dead center? You don't know.
Yeah, it could be that. But either way, it's fine to me. It's fine.
No, I like this one because generally when I shoot these sort of silhouettes, I'm generally much closer to the subject,
mm-hmm.
and which I don't like. I mean, I do like, but I like the fact that this is a little bit different, and so
yeah, sure, yeah.
To be that far away, like the colors, like how it plays off against the sea, and just enough of the. Just enough light, like shining on the like the highlights of the rocks on the beach, like where okay. that goes. Now, my one, not even criticism, but just a heads up to Woodworks is you have a little dust on your sensor. If you look sort of on the above your silhouettes, sort of halfway up, you can see there's a little dust mark on there.
Oh yeah,
just give it a clean. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, Robertson Photography with an action shot of fishing. Fishing as I'm sure you understand, a lot of boring, nothing to shoot with a little bit of action. So I appreciate that he found the action in this.
Mm-hmm. This is really good.
Yeah.
Really, really like this.
Yeah. I also like the fact that no one on board is paying attention to him. I'm assuming chumming the waters.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool shot. It's pretty good form, I'm guessing. I don't know. It looks like this guy maybe plays some golf.
It looks like the back arch looks more golf than baseball to me.
Yeah, he's really throwing it out there.
I bet you he got a pretty good 9-iron from about 135. He can land it really soft.
Yeah. That's my guess. I agree. So but I like it. I like the colors. I like the sky is really nice for this photo.
Mm-hmm. And
like it's perfect background for this kind of photo.
On purpose or not, I don't know, but he kind of fits into the blue of the sky, like in the breaks in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So he fits in there nicely. So thanks to that one. Now we got two more left. I think two more. Maybe one more. I'll have to ask you.
Okay.
All right, so Gustav Sørensen. Am I pronouncing that right, or is that all one word? I don't know. Gustav Sørensen could be. I like this one. To me, this one actually, I think this might be my favorite from this week. I know you like the Mexico shoreline one. I kind of like this one because this feels like drinking in Finland. No, Denmark. No, Sweden. No, Iceland. Don't know now. That's got to be Iceland, right?
I don't know.
I don't speak Icelandic. Now, he went and hashtagged it hashtag Sweden, so I'm going to go with Sweden.
Okay, I see. For me, it's fine again. It's a little too muddled. There's way too many people here and stuff going on and heads close to the horizon line. And
but you like grab ass though.
Yeah.
So that's, I thought you were going to go with this one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not my favorite. It's fine.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I like the way the sky turns colors. A lot going on there, and I like the fact that like that's a lot of friends down at the beach having a good time and again playing some grab ass.
Again, for a silhouette, to me, there's got to be more separation. There's not nearly enough separation here. There's way too much black meeting black in all directions. And again, you can do the math in your head, but again, what would you do with this photo other than post it with the two hosers? It can be better in like subtle changes, angle change for sure. Photographer getting down lower, get the heads of the people above or below, get them their silhouette over the water so that you can see their heads or see separation.
I'm seeing enough halo around their heads to see them. And I think this is, it was at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people and a dog. That's a lot. You're right. That's a lot.
And there's so much like bottom black, like everything kind of below the level of, I guess, I don't know where they're sitting. So, you know, everything turns to black. So either, why do we need all that black underneath? So either a different crop or else a different composition to me makes it a better photo. It's not a bad photo. It's just, we talk about little tiny subtle things that you can do to make things better. And there's lots of little subtle things that can be done. Angle would be one for sure. For me,
we're gonna part ways on this one, so I like it because it's different. I like it. It's again, my instinct would be to shoot, you know, a silhouette up close, one or two people, a lot more separation. And I'll show you one next week that I shot. And to me, there's a whole story going on. Like, I bet you the people in this photo probably more so than us, but they remember what they were talking about on the left side. The guys on the right remember what was going on with the rock and the dog over there. So there's a lot more to this picture than I think we see. So we'll part ways on this one. Now, the last one, all right. I don't remember if we talked about it last week or not. So I can't tell if it was if we got it under the wire or if this is for this month's challenge.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. So our Coakley 61 posted this one. And I like this one again, and more so because it hits, I don't know, I just experienced this driving home across essentially what used to be East Germany, and there's a whole lot of this that you pass, and it's that time of year. And I use the same joke with my kids whenever we pass one of these fields. I just point out there and go, "Hey!"
That's it?
Well, it's "Hey."
That's the joke.
Yeah, though. No, I'm a dad now, and so hence dad jokes. A lot of "I'll turn the car around right now" and dad jokes.
Okay, all right.
Not a fan of the "hey" joke, huh? Wow.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah. So I turned in my funny badge once we had the second kid. So that's how you do it.
Okay.
So anyway, I like, again, this is one of those things. I like the colors of the hay and the dying grass contrasted with the blue sky and the clouds.
Now, I like the sky. The sky is really cool looking to me, but I question how much editing was done to make the sky look this way. This, to me, this kind of sky doesn't happen in reality very often.
Mm-hmm.
So while I do think it looks cool, and I like the photo, I feel like this one is doctored. And maybe not. Maybe not. It feels like the sky is very doctored to me.
You're a stickler.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's doctored, it's doctored well enough that it makes us question. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, let's get to ours. Now, I have a bunch of photos up there. We're just going to focus on the two, your submission and my submission.
Okay.
Just as a heads up, because we went long. So
let's do mine first.
Okay, mine was all, spoiler alert, mine was almost a boat shot this week, but it's not.
Okay.
So there you go. Funny how we both went boat on the lake, but let's hear about yours. What's going on here?
I'm in the water. I've got my point-and-shoot camera,
okay,
and the kids are playing a game with their grandpa, where grandpa is basically
under the boat.
Like the No, he's not under the boat, but he's the shark in the water, and he's coming after them. And when he gets close, he basically tries to pull the oar away from them. And so, and then he kind of teases them with it before he gives it back, and they do this again. So they were having quite a fantastic little time dodging Grandpa, trying to pedal away. The water's very shallow. Like, this is a Soyuz. We've been there the last couple of years, so I've had photos each of the last 2 years from the same spot. But my dad can kind of walk around in the lake. He's probably just above waist level, even when you're way out.
Oh, so this was your dad who came up?
Yeah, well, they both, my dad and my mom came up for a few days, and then they switched off, and Lisa's parents came for a few days.
So, I see.
So they kind of, we did a week, and they each did sort of half of the week.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so this was my dad playing with the kids in the water, and that's why I like this shot. I have posed shots, I have better composed shots, I have better time of day shots, but I just, again, this is the one that sort of sings to me, is just, it's a cool moment. Like, they're again, they're engaged with Pa, they're smiling, they're laughing. Nothing is posed. It's an imperfect shot in many ways. And what I like most about it is again, the kids having fun together. So as a parent, I think we appreciate those moments, especially the ones that aren't posed. And again, I just remember what's going on from, you know, Jack's expression, especially in where he's looking. This is the game they're playing with Grandpa. But including Grandpa in the shot, which I have shots, it changes the shot completely. So mm-hmm. I again, the focus here being the kids, being in the water with the camera, getting down low. It's a point and shoot, so I mean, it's everything's in focus. It's shot with a pretty wide angle because it's a, you know, I have a zoom range on that camera, but this is shot wide intentionally, mostly just to get a bunch of background, which I thought was pertinent to the great outdoors theme. And that's it. Yeah,
I like it because it is one of those moments. It's a genuine moment. They're having fun. I remember having a ton of fun with the inflatable dinghies when I was a kid.
Oh God, we had a different smaller dinghy earlier in the week, mm-hmm. and I was adding air to it like on day two, and it's an air compressor at this place that I basically overjacked it and popped it, so uh-oh. I had to go out and buy the next bigger one up because that's what they had available at the hardware store.
Sure.
So they had the 100 and then they got the 200 and yeah. They loved the heck out of the 200.
It's funny because we growing up we always had a very small one too, and then my friends all like their parents, they had the big, like three people could fit in them, and I want the big one, you know. I loved going out there and like, because this works as a rowboat or in this case a kayak that Jack's yeah. doing. Like, I just love those things, and just great fun. We used to fish in these, like with actual, like, you'd be careful you didn't pop it because you'd just drown, right? Like with the fish hook.
Yeah.
Great memories. Turn it upside down, you could sleep in it. I think that was our move.
Oh yeah, Sarah would lie on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. In the water though, she'd float on it on the reverse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Many uses for this, and so yeah, big fan, and yeah, you click the paddle in the side thing there if you need to.
Yep.
Oh, just yep. Good times. And so that, and as you mentioned, like you didn't work too hard on the sky here. Like, this looks straight out of camera, pretty much.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, that's I pulled down the whites a little bit, but then I thought, and for the same reason, you know, just talking about, is that I can doctor the sky here if I want, but this is what it was.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel the need to, because it's much more about just the moment and their faces and that part of it than it was supposed to be about any of the background being perfect or anything. So I get it, just snapshot, but one that I like. And I did a lot of just snapshots on the vacation. And again, part of it being the fact that we spent almost all our time in a Soyuz in the water and kids in bathing suits. And I had so many good photos that I just don't want to post because of the creepy people on the internet. So this is a photo that I thought, oh, okay, well, it's even the creeps out there, it's not overly creepy, but
yeah.
Or they'll creep it anyways. But anyways, I felt much more comfortable with this photo than some of them where, depending on action and what they're doing, I just didn't feel comfortable posting.
I have the same consideration. In fact, again, sounds like next week's show will be much better than this one. Something came up that I'll talk about next week as well. But there was an incident, Anyways, all right. So here, let's have a look at mine. Mine's a little bit more posed, as you can sort of more set up. I wouldn't say like I posed in that. I told my kids sit there, and I didn't tell them what to do. I just kind of said sit there, look off that direction. You do what you want, but the rest is a little bit more, a little less candid than yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now we went up to a place called the Ostsee, the East Sea, which is up very, very far north of Germany, where they actually do have a coastline, and we're on the east side where I was expecting. It's up by Denmark, and I was expecting wide open spaces with endless beaches and sand dunes and, you know, just amazing. And that's not exactly what we got. Now the ocean here looks pretty cool, but the beach was not. I can't recommend it to a friend. No waves, which is, you know, not the end of the world. That's Vancouver's like that as well. But the big thing was the weather was awful. And so we borrowed the in-laws, my wife's parents' RV, and went up, head up north, and we're going to go camping. And glad we had an RV and not a tent, but the weather was terrible. And so I was really sweating. Like, I thought, oh man, like, I kind of, one of the things that, you know, I need to take a great outdoors photo on this trip, because that's kind of, you know, what I was hinting at when I issued the challenge, was I knew I'd be going to the great outdoors. And so one night, I think this was actually the last night, we decided to pull up stumps about 6 days early and went somewhere else. But the last night we kind of got a break and got some nice, you know, blue sky and some clouds. And I said, that's it. We're going to go out and snap this photo. And I actually brought a flash with me, specifically for a situation like this. And, so this is lit. Other than that, this is the great outdoors.
Okay. For me, this is a cool looking photo. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on that side, I like it. Because you're lighting it, you can do what you want with the background, and you can really, you know, pretty much out of camera, get that sky the way you want it.
Yes.
And it's maybe because I've been reading that Gregory Heisler portrait book, and I'm thinking about things in different terms. But the way I look at this is that there's for sure, I mean, when you look at it, anybody who's done any lighting right away knows, okay, clearly it's lit. Where can that light possibly come from that's on your children? Like, it doesn't exist in real life, and it's...
You could get extremely lucky.
In this scenario, I don't see how you could get lucky to create that light.
In what way?
Well, because look where the light would normally exist from. It's behind those clouds. It's on the other side.
No, it isn't. That's not the sun behind there.
Well, what is that?
It's just the sky lighting up.
At that time of day?
The flash, it is lit, as I said, but the flash is positioned relatively close to where the sun actually would set.
Oh, okay.
The sun's actually setting. Well, it's a weird setup. Yeah,
but the way I was looking at it, I was like, I don't think that light can really, and again, the way it's orange, like I knew what you had done here, plus how spotlit it is. Like, it's not really on the grass. It's not really anywhere else, but right in that circle, which again, to me, it's like, all right, this is orange light coming from a flash. And so again, it looks cool, and that's fine. I mean, having a cool photo, You know, be cool for the sake of cool is cool. Is that enough cools?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a photo that, I mean, really makes me think, oh, you know, you got lucky with good light. Like, I knew right away, you didn't have to say I brought a flash. I said, of course you brought a flash, because this doesn't look real to me.
Right.
And I think if you did it without the foreground, like if you had just shot this as a close-up of them on the rock, totally could have made it more realistic for me. It's because I can't see any of the light anywhere else but on them and on that rock and not on the grass at all that I sort of say, okay, well, my brain says this isn't real.
Right. Had I moved in – now, see, here's the thing. Yeah. I specifically brought this lens. I brought – this is the 5D Classic with the 17-40 on it. because I never, ever, ever shoot these kind of shots with the 17 to 40. And so right. in my head, I mean, I had other lenses with me. I could have shot this with the 85 1.8.
Right.
Could have done it. I had, and I also had my other, doesn't matter. That would have been enough. So I very specifically, I said, you know what? I'm going to zig when normally I zag, and I'm going to shoot this super wide. Now you're right. Had I moved in, I might have, you know, trompe de oul, or for however you say it, when you fool the eye.
Yeah.
Wasn't my main objective. Now, because I've done that before, I have that shot. And so, right. yeah, you're right. The grass doesn't light up as much. I don't really care. I know it doesn't look like it. I wouldn't say you're fooling people, but people who don't know enough about photography, they don't think, oh, I wonder how he lit this. They just look at it and move on because they're not thinking that way. If you know anything about photography, you might have a good idea that, yeah, this is lit. How'd you do it?
Right.
Right? But it wasn't what I was going for. I wasn't trying to fool anybody necessarily. I just thought...
You were going for cool.
Yeah, I was going for cool.
Okay. All right. Well, it's mission accomplished. It does look cool.
Yeah. All right. And again, it's something with at 17. And this is probably shot, I forget exactly, it's probably shot in the 17 mil end of that lens. Just so I could keep so much of that, of the surroundings. Because we are in the great outdoors. And right. thus, I wanted to preserve as much of the outdoors as I could. You don't normally you shoot this. You're like, all right, well, off to the left, you know, you've got a power station, or on to the right, you've got some building. And no, but here, I was lucky. And now, just out of frame, just below me is a park bench. And while I'm shooting this, for some reason, like 30 or 40 of the people just sort of kind of gathered around to watch, which is weird because they didn't see the end result. And so if you see what's going on here, my wife holding the flash, you know, camera left, and all you see is you see the surroundings as they are, and then a quick flash of light, you have no idea what's going on. But they were wildly interested. But I purposely didn't show anybody the image. I said, walk away. You know, mm-hmm. So in the end, this was to me the great outdoors. I had something else in mind, but I ended up liking how this looked.
Okay.
All right. So we need a challenge for next month, for the month of September. Now, you said you've got one.
Yeah, I kind of want to revisit something that we played around with, and just thinking that people might actually do this one. I mean, deep focus is fine. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't blow my hair back.
Well,
but I thought let's revisit light painting. That was fun. We hadn't done that in a long time. Remember when you did the number 8 in your bathroom or whatever?
Yeah,
that was a good one, wasn't it?
Light painting. We said we're number 2. light painting. That was
you don't
awesome.
Want to do it. I can tell by your tone.
Well, I must say, deep focus, you know, reinvents the wheel. I think it's more accessible for more people. I think if you want 50 people,
no,
to do it,
anybody can light a match and paint some light, or they can use a flashlight. Like anybody, talk about accessible. Come on.
All right, I'll do light painting.
Can't you do it with your phone? For heaven's sake,
yes.
Like someone
yes.
can. You could do it with anything.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, the good news is when this one just falls flat, you're gonna wear it.
Okay.
So that's the good news.
But I'm gonna do a mind-blowing image that will make it all worth it. My one will count for 30.
Oh, just I love the math on that. So you already have something in mind?
I have an idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will it be cool, or will it be like a snapshot?
Like, will be cool.
Okay, so you go with we'll know it's going to be lit. As soon as you do light painting, we know it's going to be lit.
Oh, it's going to be lit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So then, but that's for the month of September. So we'll visit that.
That can just be, you know what? That can be the weekly challenge if you'd rather. And
no.
you could no, you want that to be the monthly challenge?
No. Next week is landscape.
Oh, okay, landscape.
The challenge for next week is landscape.
The one after that is deep focus.
The one after that, no, we'll save that for a monthly, but make it accessible. All right, so yeah, challenge for the month of September, which we'll visit in 4 weeks or 5 weeks or however that shakes out, is light painting. Photo challenge for next week is landscape, and that's it. Websites. Adam, Where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Check it out and check my stuff out at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find the links, the photos. You can use our email to set up Craigslist stuff at Tim Hortons. Whatever you need.
Perfect.
Check us out there. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.